This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Yo, what is going on? And welcome to another episode of the Urban Pitch Podcast, Beautiful Game of Life, part of the Believe Network. I am Ramsey Abushala, editor of urbanpitch.com, joined by the co-executive directors of Vibes, Julia Monterosa, Bridget Flores. What's going on, y'all?
What is going on, y'all? It's the first day of summer, technically, first day we're recording.
Yep. Kendrick activated LA yesterday.
We're coming up.
I woke up like, hey, they not like us.
Well, everybody was at that amazing concert. I went to go see T-Pain for a different concert. So I was just,
you know, I mean, life. There's always something to do. But yeah. We have a very special guest with us today, joining us via Zoom. He is the founder of Live Breathe Football. He's coming off of a massive collaboration with MLS, the entire league, you know, front to back. It's incredible stuff. Go check that out. But Abun Olaloya is here. Thank you so much for joining us. What's going on?
No, thank you guys for having me, man. Appreciate it. I'm happy to be on here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, Like Bridget said, it's the summertime, you know, things get a little bit busy. I mean, I feel like every summer in terms of soccer just gets, you know, things get packed, the schedule gets jam-packed. You decided that wasn't enough. You decided to go throughout the collaboration. So we'll get into that. But first, how are you managing this summer? How busy are you? How do you keep things organized and not go completely out of control?
Oh, man. It's just been super busy. Really, is the best way to describe it, but it's also been incredible. Our business has grown so much, obviously, just with the MLS license and what you know what that requires us to do. We've, you know, added more staff, had to hire more people, had to get a new office, a bigger space and all that. But, you know, my mentality is always just like, you know, one foot in front of the other. You know, I never get overwhelmed by the moment. I recognize that it's a big moment, but at the same time, it's like, I'm ready for it. You know, I've been doing this for 12 years now, and I'm like, I'm always ready for the next challenge. So for me, I just do that. I take it in stride, and I just take it one day at a time. I try not to get too high or too low. Like, stuff happens. It is what it is. You just kind of keep moving forward and, you know, find a way to get to the next point. That's it.
Right. Just keep it pushing.
Yeah. Exactly. Keep it pushing.
As a business that went from basically from the bottom to all the way to the top now, what is the hardest thing for when you're growing as much as you're growing?
Oh, that's a really good question. What's the hardest thing? The hardest thing is just like the new reality, right? Like I'm always trying to grow the business, right? Because I have a vision of where I want the business to be. And it's always hard because you can say, oh, I want to be here. I want to do an MLS collaboration. But you never quite know everything that you're getting yourself into, like kind of all the things that come with that, whether it's like logistical challenges, you know, raising money, sales. Like, there's so many things that go into it besides just, oh, I want to do this, right? So that's the hardest part, kind of managing all the stuff that you don't really think about going into like a new challenge. And the reality is, like, I've never done this before. This is my first business. So, like, it's not like I'm coming off of like, oh, I worked at a big company and this is what happened. We did X, Y, and Z. I'm just like figuring it out as I go. So I think that's probably the hardest part, is not really having that experience to fall back on when the new challenges kind of come up.
You said it's been about like 12 years since you've started?
Yep.
So in those 12 years, can you share a little bit about, like, as you reflect on where you are now, 12 years since you started, what comes to mind for you where it's like the biggest like learning experience, and also just did you even think you'd be where you're at today after so long?
Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use our promo code BELIEV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here.
Yeah, I'll say the biggest learning experience is just how resilient I can be, but also kind of seeing the changes that have happened in just sort of soccer in American culture from when I started to now, right? Like, you know, Argentina, Canada is on in the living room. I've been watching all these Euro games. We can pretty much watch more soccer in America now than ever before. Versus when I started, it was like you actually can't like illegal streams and all that. You have to like, go to a friend's house because your friend
allegedly, right?
You know what I mean? Your friend might have Gold TV, but you don't have Gold TV, so you go to like we all go to their house to watch the game, whatever it was. So I think that was the first thing, just kind of seeing how the game has grown massively, and obviously we're we benefit from the game growing so much. But I'll also kind of just say it's for me. I've always had a vision of creating like the biggest, most recognizable soccer apparel brand in the world. And I recognize that when I started the company, that wasn't even really a thing. You know what I mean? So, but now obviously now there's so many more people in the space, so many more brands doing really cool stuff. So for me, it's just been like a very gratifying experience seeing just how much the game has grown in America and just kind of seeing how that's translating to so many more people like myself, like yourself, like getting involved in the space, whether that's for you guys, whether that's to like, you know, media and content or for, you know, for my thing is through apparel. So that, that's been the most fun part is just seeing how all of this has really grown in really just a short time. Like 12 years is a long time in my life, but it's not a long time like overall, you know what I mean? So it's just kind of thinking about that and being like, okay, cool. Like I'm excited to see where soccer does go in the next 10 and 12 years in this country.
Yeah. And I mean, and talking about the growth, like you mentioned like being recognizable and there's been some recognizable names to be in Live Breathe Football apparel. I know being even in here in LA, like we would run, you know, pickup sessions and we had a league and stuff. And I would see people in LBF stuff all the time, but I mean, Dwayne Wade, David Luiz, like, you know, there's been some pretty A-list names. Like, what was it like seeing them in your gear, and how did that even come about?
It's very strange seeing that because I only think about how much work went into like making this stuff, you know, and it's like, oh wow, like this person who's very recognizable is wearing something that I created or like that we created, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of, it's a very strange thing to really experience and to explain to people because it's just like, oh wow, like that's because, you know, like we put so much work in behind the scenes, right? People just see really cool garments and just see, oh, Dwayne Wade's wearing your shorts or David Luiz is wearing your da 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 da. People only see that, but they don't really see the amount of work that goes into it. So for me, it's kind of like, okay, like wow, okay, that's what it takes for people to really recognize something you've done. I remember the day Dwayne Wade posted him wearing the shorts. I think we sold like 100 pairs of shorts in like an hour after that. And I was just like, well, like, is that all it takes to really get up? But like, people don't see like how much work it takes to even get someone like that to be able to put your stuff on. But yeah, I'm grateful for all of it. It's really cool experience to kind of just see that. But for me, the main goal is just getting every soccer fan, every soccer player in the world to wear LBF, right? Like to me, it's what's even cooler than seeing like someone like Dwayne Wade wearing my brand is like going to soccer, whether it's pickup or my leagues, and seeing someone that I don't even know wearing my brand. Like they just found the brand through Instagram, whatever the case is, and they're wearing the stuff like to play against me or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like if they know it's me, that makes it cool. If not, it's not really that big of a deal. It's more about like seeing that like what we're making is connecting with people who love the game.
It's like Kobe when he was playing Michael Jordan. He made sure to lace up in the eights. That's what people are doing. They got, oh, we got a boon
on the pitch.
Yeah, we gotta rock the LBF gear. Right?
Or you gotta be right like on. Kobe if they suck, be like, hey, you can't wear my stuff, man. Take it off, man. You ain't strong enough.
You're not represented.
You saw my charm in you.
We've definitely had some people that I was like, you know what, like. I'm glad they love your game. You know what I mean? Like,
thank you for supporting.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man.
Listen, I appreciate everyone that wears our stuff, man. Whether you're a baller or not, or whatever it is, like, you know, it's just like that support is real. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's because there's a million other choices. Like, they can wear Nike, they can wear Adidas, they can wear Puma, they can wear whatever. But like, they're like, okay, wow, like, I have $64, I'm going to spend them on this brand. They're like, just because I think it's cool what they're doing, whatever. Like, to me, that means so much more. So. Yeah, I appreciate all of it.
Yeah. And for the people that don't know, like, talk about the origins. You know, you started in college, like, just as kind of a way was it like a side hustle? I don't know if that's more like accurate of a description, but to have started, you know, making t-shirts on your own, getting, you know, slow traction and to kind of grow it organically like this, that's not like it's really cool to see, because you don't see that happen a lot. And I think a lot of that's a testament to your vision. Like, no, like, obviously you have a knowledge of the game, what's cool, what works, what doesn't. But talk about the origins, how you started, and when you kind of started to see, like, oh, you know what, this, there might be something a little bit more to this this business.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Nigeria, right? So I grew up playing soccer, watching soccer. My dad and my uncle, all my friends, like, we all would gather around the TV watching, you know, the Super Eagles play and all that. I'm an Arsenal fan, so we watch Arsenal. So football is in my blood. Like, I grew up, like, I live and breathe football. Like, that is my life, you know what I mean? And then coming to America, you realize, okay, it's not as popular here. You know, like, you get made fun of playing soccer when, like, all your friends are playing, you know, playing basketball, playing football, whatever it is. But then, you know, I started making t-shirts in high school. Now, this is sort of a bit more of a personal sort of side to the story I never really tell. But when we came from Nigeria, we were on a visiting visa, so we never really, like, had status in America. So we ended up staying whatever it was. I was really young. I didn't really quite understand it, but I just knew, like, oh, I can't get a job. You know what I mean? I can't get, like, I can't go to, like, work at the mall like my friends were doing. So I was like, well, I need to find a way to make money so I can, like, you know, get a cell phone and buy myself some clothes or whatever it was. So I remember I was just in class one time and I was sketching up a t-shirt design. One of my friends was like, yo, like, can you make that? Like, that shirt looks fresh. Like, can you make that? I was just like, and I'm never one to shy away from a challenge. So in my mind, I just heard, that is a challenge. Like, you are challenging me to see if I can do this. So I went home that night. I was like, mom, can you take me to the fabric store? So I went to the store, grabbed some t-shirts, grabbed some fabric paint, whatever it was. And I painted a shirt that I drew on that shirt, on that paper. And then went to school the next day and gave it to my friend. I was like, yo, it'll be $15, right? And then I got, like, a bunch more. I was like, yo, can you make that for me? Can you make that for me? And I kind of started making t-shirts. And that was, like, my little side hustle. It wasn't really a side. It was just, like, a way for me to make money because I couldn't get a proper job at the time. But then I kind of saw how much I enjoyed doing it. Like, I would stay up all night painting shirts. Like, my thing was, I think my sophomore year of high school, like, I made a new t-shirt to wear to school every single day of the school year without repeating a shirt. So, like, I was really, like, kind of taken by that. And I'm kind of quite an obsessive person. Like, when I find something I'm passionate about, I go all into it. So that was kind of high school. And then when I got to college, I kind of stopped a little bit. You know, you kind of get caught up in, like, the college life of, like, studying and all that sort of stuff. But I kept playing soccer, found a group of people that we love playing soccer. I played soccer till, like, 1 o'clock at night. Sometimes I skip class and go play soccer to watch soccer. So it's very evident to me. I was like, I need to figure out a way to make a living doing this at some point, because I love the game so much that, like, if I don't find a way to make money doing this, I just won't be a successful person, you know? And I wanted to be successful. So I was like, well, I make t-shirts, I make some money doing that. I really like soccer. So I put those two things together and make, like, a soccer clothing brand. Like, at the very least, I'll always enjoy what I'm doing. I don't know if I'll make a lot of money doing it, but, like, I'll always enjoy that, right? I didn't quite think of it as, like, from a business set standpoint at that point. It was just, okay, I like this, I like that, put them together. And then, you know, I made some shirts, took them to soccer. My friends bought them, put them on Twitter. Some people bought them, and it just kind of, like, went from there to, you know, where we are now.
Yeah. And now you got a full collection with the MLS. Like,
it's crazy, right?
Yeah. So talk about that. How did that come about? Because I know you worked with Sporting Kansas City in the past. But mm-hmm. How did the entire league, the full, because, I mean, you know, from Atlanta United all the way across the entire country, like, first off, I mean, the everything looks great from
the windbreaker.
The windbreaker. I know Julio. The first thing Julio said was the windbreaker. He needs a windbreaker.
Yeah, LAFC went into San Diego one. I'm like, fire.
I like the shorts. The shorts are sick.
Yeah, to me. But how did that come about? How long did that whole process take? And you know, because, like you said, like, we only see the final product. We only see, you know, the league promoting it and the response online. But what went into that entire collection and collaboration?
Yeah, so I'll go back. The story really starts in, like, 2016. And I say that because, you know, around the time we were, like, we had done our Kickstarter campaign to launch our Maestro collection that did really, really well. And then I was like, man, there's got to be a way to work with the Philadelphia Union, our local club here in Philly. And because I remember, so when I started LBF, the Union had a t-shirt design competition where, like, fans got to enter a t-shirt, whatever. And then you got to, people would vote on it, and then there was, they'd make the winning design and sell it in the club shop. So my design ended up winning, and like I walked around the stadium and I'd see like my shirt, people wearing my shirt. I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. I want to do more of that, right? But then it came to come to find out like that at the time, like that just wasn't a thing that was possible. They were like, no, Adidas only, and it's run by, I forget what company was running like the stadium shop at the time. So I left it for a few years, and then I was like, yo, there's got to be a way to do something with the Philadelphia Union. And I remember at the time, Sporting Kansas City had this thing called Sporting Style. It was kind of like their own sub-brand that was a little bit different. That wasn't Sporting KC, but like it was affiliated. So I reached out to them. I was like, hey, like, how did y'all do this? Because I want to kind of take that concept and do this, be the same sort of thing for the Philadelphia Union. And I remember the guy, John Monka, still a great friend of, and mentor of mine today. He said, well, why don't you come out to San Jose for MLS All-Star, and we'll have a chat, and I'll kind of, we can talk about this. And so I remember he got me a ticket to All-Star. I flew out there. Like I said earlier, I'm an Arsenal fan, so they were playing Arsenal at the time. Went to San Jose, had lunch with him, and he was like, I can tell you how to do it with the Union, or we can just do it together. Like, I like your stuff. I think your brand is really cool. Like, you bring something different to the space. So I was like, okay, let's do it. So then in 2017, we did a collab with them, and that did really, really well. So that's kind of what started off, like, people seeing our product in that context of like, oh wow, these guys can do not just t-shirts for soccer fans, they can do pretty much like almost anything. We did like a hoodie that was cut and sew. We did like this, like, we just did really, the collection was really cool in my opinion. So that led to, in 2018, we did a collab with Adidas when they were in Philly for something, the Portland Thorns, and like just kind of like one thing led to the other. And then in 2022, a guy by the name of Josh from PWX at Fanatics, he reached out and was like, hey, man, we think LBF is a really cool brand, and we would like to kind of explore you guys being a local licensee for the league, for Philadelphia Union. I was like, okay, cool. So we just had to design some product for the Union, like just a couple of designs or whatever it was, and submit it. And the team was like, yo, that's fire. We like it as is, right? So that was, we dropped that in September last year. And then it went so well that the league was kind of like, yo, like, do y'all want the whole thing? And that was pretty much how it came to be. So, because the Union thing, I remember we dropped it. It was the game against the Red Bulls. And then by halftime, like, most of the stuff was, like, already sold out in stadium. I think we sold out most of the stuff, like, the first 24 hours on our website. We did a restock that sold out. Did another restock that sold out. So I think from the league's perspective, it was like, okay, wow, here's, like, a partner that's doing really, really cool product that no one else is really doing. But also, like, we are a soccer brand. I think those two things – was quite interesting to MLS to kind of work with us in that way, because it's like, well, you can have any licensee in the world, but like, we're the only one that's a soccer brand. And I think that speaks volumes to kind of what we've been building up until this point.
Yeah. And what have you seen from the response so far to the MLS collection, now that it's the rollouts has come out?
I mean, it's been overwhelmingly positive. Like, everyone's like super hyped for it. I mean, some of the comments are like, yo, why didn't my club get more products? Because obviously some clubs got like 8 to 10 pieces and some clubs got a lot less. But it's overall, it's just been positive responses so far, beyond our wildest expectations in terms of sales, and just the reception has been really, really, really good.
I'm just listening to your story. From what I got is basically sometimes you just have to shoot your shot and not be afraid to ask, which is easier said than done, but you did it and you've been so successful with that. What's like the advice that you can give to people who are in that place where like they're stuck on being able to just shoot their shot, especially with people that are in big industries, like for example, a big team or a big league? Like, what advice do you have there? Because I feel like that's always the scary part, is just taking that initiative.
Oh man, that's, I would just say, I mean, saying go for it is just terrible advice, because like, it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't help you. For me, what helps me, because I'm also like, it's easy to sit here and say, oh, I'm a natural born risk taker. But like, I spend so much time thinking about what could possibly go wrong, But I'm like, I always come back to like, well, if I don't do anything about this, if I don't shoot my shot, I will be in the same exact place that I am right now, right? So like, that's the only thing that gets me off my ass. It's like, yo, if you do nothing about it, you're going to be stuck right here in this spot. and you don't like the spot that you're in, you want to be there, and the only way to get there is to take a chance. Like, you don't know how it's going to work out, right? Like, so much of your life has been unwritten. No one knows what tomorrow's going to bring, right? Why not take a chance at being successful, do something that you absolutely want to do and enjoy? And for me, I'll say it's a lot easier now because I really, really like what I'm doing. I remember telling myself when I started LBL, I was like, okay, I'm going to go with it as long as I'm having fun doing it, right? Whatever happens, good years, bad years, we make money, we lose money. Like, as long as I'm really enjoying what I'm doing, like, I'll keep going with it, right? And like, I've always been able to say that. Like, there's been times, even now, it's really, really difficult. There's so many challenges we face to get this product across the line, but I'm like, this is fun. Like, I'll be at the office 12 hours a day and I don't even realize it. Like, I'd rather be doing nothing else. Like, I wake up, I go to the gym, I go to the office, get to watch soccer, right? Go play soccer and come home, sleep, wake up the next day and do it again. Like, I don't care to do anything else, right? So I think for me in that way, it's not so hard to like shoot your shot. I'm like, well, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I think the more you do it, it's like that confidence breeds conviction. Like, the more you do it, the more confident you feel about it. And then it just becomes like second nature to you. It's like football, right? Like, you take 100 shots in practice, when it's game time and you hit it from 40 yards out, it's like, well, yeah, duh, like, I've done this so many times, like, it becomes second nature. And then people ask, oh my God, like, what made you think to take that shot? It's like, I didn't think about it. It's just what I do on a day-to-day basis. I've trained myself to always take chances and take risks, calculated risks, right? Trying not to do anything stupid, but like, knowing that sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I don't really get married to the outcome. It's more so just like, bro, like, you want to be there, so you have to do X, Y, and Z to get there. That's pretty much how I think about it.
That's solid advice right there.
Yeah. Is there a certain risk or a certain chance that you took that kind of stands out to you? Or is like, oh yeah, that in retrospect was the perfect move at the perfect time for me?
The Instagram model. I'm not joking.
Oh man, that's a good question. Perfect. I mean, I would say like, so in 20, when I first started LBF, I was at Temple here in Philly, and at the same time in Seattle, there's a company called Golosso. They no longer exist, and it was like an all natural beverage. Think of like Red Bull, or like Monster, or like Gatorade, but like marketed towards soccer players, right? It was like, to me, it was quite revolutionary at the time. It was like all natural, all that stuff. Long story short, they invited me to Seattle, and I was like, wow, like, this is the coolest thing. Like, they had like their office was like this indoor facility. They had like indoor soccer field. Like, you can watch soccer there, you can play soccer. I was like, this is literally my dream, right? They sell beverages, I sell clothing, right? So I flew out there to meet them, whatever it was. I ended up meeting a guy named Richard Tate, who was the founder of the company. He said, oh my God, thanks so much for coming over to Seattle, da 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 da. Long story short, he became my mentor. And a lot of that, our relationship, like, changed my life. I got to learn so much about business from him. He's very, very, very successful entrepreneur in his own right. So for me, taking that risk of going to a city I'd never been to, I didn't even know anyone there. I was literally there for like a night. I flew in that day for the event that they had, flew out the next day to Philly. I didn't have any money to get, you know, an Airbnb or whatever at the time. So that risk was one of the things I would say that definitely changed the trajectory of my life, because I was able to learn from someone who was successful in business. So I could call him like, hey, Richard, I want to do X, Y, and Z. What do you think about this? Or he could introduce me to someone that would like make things happen for me for the business and all that. So that's definitely a risk of like just kind of going somewhere. Like, I'd never been to Seattle. I never wanted to go to Seattle. But that was one of those things I would like always look back and be like, yeah, that really changed a lot of things for me.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, while there might not have been like a short term thing where like, you know, there's a big partnership between LBF and Golazzo, it seems like a lot of long term stuff came from that one trip. So it's like, you know, sometimes it takes time to like materialize it all, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I didn't really think about it that way, but all the really successful things that we've done or that have happened for me, like, I never go into them with like, oh, it has to be this, right? I just kind of go like naturally, like, hey, I want to meet whoever's behind this thing, build a relationship. And then if something comes out of it, it comes out organically. It's never like, yo, it has to be this thing. Because sometimes whenever we've done that, like, yo, it has to be this thing, it never quite works. And you look back and you're like, well, why did we even waste our time doing that? Like, you're trying to force something, right? Versus just letting it happen naturally. Sometimes that'll take a lot longer to materialize. But when it does come to fruition, it like it seems like a so obvious, you know, like the MLS thing. Like when I started LBL, I wanted that. I wanted to do stuff for teams. I was like, I can do this. Like that t-shirt competition to me was like, yo, like it was so obvious, but like I couldn't force it. 12 years later, now they came to us and was like, oh wow, we see what you guys have been doing for the last 12 years. Da-da-da-da. Now is the right time. So I think you can't really rush things like that. I just try to find like sort of like genuine connections with people and then just kind of see how things flow from there.
Yeah, there's a quote. So it's like things move faster when you take your time, right? So like I think that's a good example of that.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Trend in football and fashion. You know, you mentioned, you said when you first started out, like, you were one of the few brands to do it, and there's been, you know, as the game has kind of grown in the U.S. and, you know, we're seeing major tournaments being held in the country now this summer and over the next two summers. What are some things that you've noticed as, you know, as the game has grown in the U.S. and as well as the trend of football and fashion has grown across the globe?
What have I noticed? I just noticed how many creative people there really are in this space. Like just what you guys are doing, what like Saturday's football is doing, what the guys at Wavy Footy are doing. Like everyone's so super creative. What some of the photographers are doing, like Stoney out in LA, he does a lot of stuff with VBFC. Yeah. Ethan White, Tommy Battle at NYCFC. Like there's just so many really cool people that I genuinely like within like that are doing really cool stuff around the game. I think like that's to me is like the real benefit of the growth of the game in this country is like more people are using like their passion for soccer as a conduit to express their creativity, which to me is like the ultimate point of anything. It's like it's fun to watch games and all that. And it's more fun to play football, but like to apply your creativity to this thing you care about so much, I think it's a different level that it's really cool to see a lot of people doing that same thing. The same way like I saw it like 12 years ago, I was like, whoa, I'm really creative and I really love soccer. So let me put those two things together. Maybe it wasn't quite popular at the time to do that, but now that like there's so much more in the game, there's so many more opportunities, it's really cool to see more people kind of take those chances in the space.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it helps, I mean, for us personally, because we get more people to reach out to and have on the show too, but like just seeing that, like having been around this now for a few years, it's definitely like, the amount of stories that are being told, the amount of people that are like being in these places and rising to new heights, like it's really cool to see. And I think, you know, as you know, after 2026, I feel like that seems to be like, you know, it's being built as the tipping point. We'll see how it turns out, but I'm excited to see, you know, how things turn out. Yeah. coming
right on. Moving forward. Yeah. I have a question for you guys. How did you all get hooked up on Urban Pitch, and like what's the, I guess, the grand vision for it?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a good story. So I mean, I guess so I mentioned that we had the we were running leagues and pickups and all that. So that's part of our sister company, Urban Futsal LA. So that was started by our founder John Lee, I think maybe around 2014 or 2015. And you know, kind of started as a passion project of his. You know, he's another entrepreneurial mind that was had a career in high tech sales, or not high tech sales, but just in the high tech industry. Yeah, yeah. So he got brought into this passion project, and it kind of grew from there. So they had a facility here in LA. They were running leagues and pickups, and eventually parlayed that into a new deal with Adidas and. Nice. That in the gap between, you know, it took a while for that Adidas facility to kind of take off. They had to find the right location, which, you know, in LA, I'm sure in Philly it's the same thing. It's kind of hard. You said you found a new office this year, so I'm sure you can kind of relate to that. But There was like a year long gap between the deal, like kind of starting, and then the facility opening. And there was a gap. I mean, what John was describes it as, when you're a facility owner that doesn't have a facility, like, what do you do? And he started Urban Pitch, the sister company, to tell stories that, you know, of the people that were coming into the facility every day. You know, there's a bunch of, you know, street footballers, freestylers that were kind of coming in, and there's a lot of stories to be told from there. So that's kind of the origin story of Urban Pitch, and it's kind of evolved into, you know, what we do with the podcast, what we do as a creative agency, what we do as, you know, as an editorial site. But met these guys all at the facility, at the base. I was, you know, helping out, running pickup games, running different events. Bridget ended up coming as one of the people at the front desk, and so I was working with her, and she was, you know, kind of a nightmare to manage and all that.
I was just there,
and Julio was there. Julio was the life of the party. Julio was there for the vibe. He was there for the vibes. Bridget was there for the vibes.
And a
job as well. But now, you know, we've, as we've grown and we've established ourselves, we're looking to kind of continue this. And as the game grows, we're looking to tell as many stories as possible, work with as many, you know, like-minded people who are as passionate about the game as we are. And, you know, like, just continue the trajectory and continue the growth. But they met outside of the base too. So, I mean, yeah, you guys can tell that story.
We met at a concert, and it was an Instagram post happening, and there's a lot of friends asking, how the hell do you guys know each other? We're like,
I think the bigger meaning behind our story, because it goes on forever, but soccer brought us together.
Yeah.
Like the world of soccer, the community of soccer brought us three together, and in different ways, in different capacities. And somehow, somehow, some way, I was meant to meet Julio, because our paths and our the people we know and the stories that we have, and like we talk about things and we're like, dude, like we were so like at some point so close to, or probably in the same space, same soccer tournament, same soccer park, but it just happened to be that we met in 2018.
Yeah, the concert,
and at then, Bad Bunny's concert.
Yeah, she posted it, and one of my soccer teammates was like, how do you know him?
I'm
like,
yeah.
She's like, I don't. This guy's just crazy. He's just doing the most.
he was photobombing.
He was photobombing my picture, and I still posted it. And, yeah. And then someone was like, that's the homie. I'm like, I don't know your homie.
Yeah. Sorry, he's a weirdo. I do not know who he is.
So, yeah, so it was like one of my old soccer teammates from back in Arizona in college.
Yeah.
And then another footy friend was like, hey, come play. This is sick facility in the lake. Just come play with me. And I'm like, I'm already retired, bro. I don't want to go. But whatever. They convinced my brother to go. So I was like, let me go follow him. And as I'm walking in, I see her face. I'm like, you again.
And it's history.
And then after that, we couldn't get him out of there. We'd be kicking him out. It would be like 2 a.m. We're like, yo, and man, like, we got to go. Like,
yeah, we're trying to close down.
Cards. They were like, no, dude. We're like, trying to kick you out. I'm like, no, I can't. I kind of like you guys now.
No, that's awesome. And that, like, I have those same stories to that. That's how most of my close friends, I met them playing soccer. You know what I mean? Like, just you'll play somewhere and then you'll go somewhere else and like, oh, yeah, I remember you, da-da-da-da-da. And like, right. Just now, like, everyone that I'm close to, like, I'm like really close to, like, I met playing soccer. I think that's the power of the game that I quite liked about soccer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, watching games and everything is fun, but like, it's just like the camaraderie. Like, we'd go play soccer to like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like, yo, let's go to a bar, let's go get something to eat. Like, it was, to me, like, that was like a lifestyle that we all chose to just live. Like I'm 34 now and I'm still playing soccer because like I can't see myself doing anything else or not doing it. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's once you get bit by that soccer bug, like, it's just part of you forever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Life.
Like, no, yeah.
But shout out to our founder. He had a vision and he always wanted like that soccer space to create community. And that's something like he really was really big on, having the community that that Urban Pitch, Urban Futsal community, week after week, people sometimes would show up and not even play.
Yeah.
Just because like the stories we told each other about
the
when we used to really
meet.
Play. And it was just like, it was this crazy community, watch parties. It was just like, honestly, everybody knew each other. Everybody was friends with each other. So it was thanks to him that all this has been created.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Abun, we're running low on time. I know it's late. You're on the East Coast. But One thing that we always have when we have a guest is to wrap things up, we have them share some artists that they're listening to on their playlist. Is there a certain song that's on repeat? Who are you currently listening to, and what's in your rotation?
Right answers only. I'm just kidding.
So obviously, like Kendrick, that concert last night. Did any of you guys go to that?
No, I wish, man. The FOMO was real. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
So T-Pain had a Juneteenth concert, so I went to that instead of a.
I felt like I was there from all the Instagram stories that I saw.
Yeah, so, I saw it on Prime like everybody else. We were 60% there.
Yeah. I was like, I had a game like street like 5v5 last night. I'm leaving or whatever, and I just go on Twitter and I'm like, "Didn't Kendrick have a concert? Like, what's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's still happening right now." Like, I got home, put it on like Amazon Prime, and like watched the rest of it. It was It was definitely like a moment. I feel like it was like a moment in time. You know what I mean?
Right.
But as far as artists I'm listening to right now, a lot of Afrobeats. Like I said, I'm Nigerian, so like it's just it's kind of in my blood. Is what I'm listening to right now. But the one song I have on repeat, I've had on repeat for the last 3 days, is this song called "Billions" by Lojay. I don't know if you guys know him. He had a collab with Chris Brown called "Mona Lisa." It was like a big Afrobeat song about a year or 2 years ago now. And then this is "Billions" is like his new track, and it's just like. It's a vibe, like it's really good. Listen to a lot of that, a lot of Skepta, Tems. I really like I Hear Stars' new album.
Yeah.
And my favorite rapper of the last couple of years is Larry June. I know you guys.
Oh yeah,
Larry June. Valley folks,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just like
he's a vibe.
He is a
vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he loves cars. Like just the whole vibe is just like yeah. So
like low riders as well. So like
you can listen to him and like you feel like you're cruising if you're not even in the car.
Yeah, he makes like regular everyday shit that we do sound dope.
Right.
Like
right.
Going to get a smoothie.
Yeah, the smoothie. I was gonna say that. Yeah, the green juice. Like, the green juice.
Sounds fire.
And then like when you have Alchemist like on the whole track, like I mean, it's just like a match made in heaven. Like I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys listen to?
You guys
wanna
go?
I'm on some Kendrick right now. Like after yesterday's concert, I'm going back to that Dom Kennedy playlist. So like especially a kid, I was raised right there in the Crenshaw Lemur district. So now I'm like I'm all about it right now. So yeah, it's just Dom Kennedy on replay. I think I deleted everything else. It's just Dom to the year ends.
That 2012.
Yeah,
run
no, Dom, no. Like it's just, hey, I got a party. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was like one of my first concerts too in 2012. Like I made sure I was out. There with Dom, but I think after the concert from last night, I definitely started. I had to go back to like the old like RJ, Mr. LA, yeah. Dom Kennedy. I was listening to you know even Tyler the Creator. I threw that in there. Like yeah. it just made me want to go back to like the old you know just like the classic LA stuff that we'd be listening to.
Yeah, Kendrick has is going LA versus everybody.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I mean like the whole blog era like. Especially in LA, that time where TDE was coming out, mm-hmm. You know, Tyler Creator was like famously anti-blog, but he was like very much part of that time. Dom Kennedy was a big part of that. Mm-hmm. Casey Veggies, like Casey Veggies. You know, like all like that and that all of us were around. You know, like like 16 to 20 at that you know around that time. So I mean that helps too. Like when you're that age, like. Like they always say, like, you know, that's your favorite music is when you're,
and the
you
thing
know.
About it, too, is that at that time, like, you had to go out and look for it. Like, it wasn't coming to you like it does now. So it hits different. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, waiting in line in the summertime to meet YG and get him to sign my CD album. Mm. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I took a picture with him. Like, those are core memories that you just don't get as much anymore. But back in the day, you had to look for that.
Right.
Nowadays, it's just like it's a little bit more accessible.
I remember getting in Arizona playing YG. Like this is like 2010, playing YG, and everybody's like, "Man, you Cali people, man!" Like first of all, like you guys are skinny jeans. Like, man, so what? Leave us alone. Our music is fire, though. So like, it was a rude awakening because I thought like LA, like everybody knew our music, but it was like no, it was like. LA people repped LA and we loved our music, but not everybody else really messed with it because they didn't like our beats. But I thought it was crazy.
So a couple points to that. So one, I agree with you about music and how back when we were younger, because you had to find it, it meant so much more, right? You had to kind of like, you know go to Best Buy and wait in line to get your CD signed or whatever.
Piff, yeah.
Now it's like, oh, I'm like on a Spotify playlist, like a song might pop up. I'm like, oh, who's this artist? I quite like this, which right. is not a bad thing. But then, like, you don't really get to curate your music, like right. the way back then, like you do, like you did back then, like now, because it's just like, well, I'm gonna put on Rap Caviar, and then whatever they hit me with, like, mm-hmm. I'll discover new songs from that. Versus, mm-hmm. like on a TikTok, I'm like, yeah, what song is that? You know what I mean? Right. So I think it's a little bit different. Secondly, is YG as big in LA as like? Because I listened to YG Frank like 2013, 2014, like, and that album, like, I couldn't stop listening to it. But yeah. then, like, it wasn't as big out here. Some songs are big out here, but, like, for you guys, what is it like having, like, YG from?
Oh, you hear YG at the club, outside, at a bar, like, it's an automatic.
You're a legend.
Like, you see people,
legend.
Like, hitting, like, left, right, real quick. Like, yeah, YG is, like, LA.
Yeah, I saw a tweet, and it was completely out of pocket, but it also made me laugh. It said, YG is Jay-Z for Mexicans. And it was one of those things like how do you even think of that,
like, no, but like besides like because like my crazy life, like,
yeah,
it goes back to being an Hispanic, like, gangster thing with all that, but like prior to that, like, he was already popping in the city from 2009 to then. Like, he had Meek Mill on a song early on, like 2010. He had Tyga when Tyga was already popping, like, one with Nipsey, like, it's like they had all these songs. YG was like literally around that 2009 to 2015 era. Like, you go into a club, you're playing YG, and you right. like, it's probably gonna be the best night of your life.
Yeah,
since he was on Tooted and Booted too.
Tooted yeah. and Booted. Yeah. Tooted and Booted. We were all Tooted and Booted. It was crazy.
yeah, I mean that. Yeah, that he's. I feel like because. There's a weed dispensary next to my house, and there's like a bunch of people that go there, but there's one day it was like the entire block and like twice over was like
packed.
Circled. And I live in the Valley, which is like a like suburbs type like of LA, and they always give me stuff for it, whatever, I don't care. And so stuff like that doesn't really happen. And I'm like, yo, what the hell? Like, I was walking my dog, and I'm like, yo, what is going on right now? Like, why is there like so many people out? And it turns out YG was like, was doing an appearance at the dispensary, and like people were literally losing their minds. It was insane. Like, I never, like, it was the most ridiculous, like, it was like people were like throwing, it was wild. And I can't say half the stuff that was going on, like, on air.
I can only imagine.
But yeah. So like he kind of has that, even though like, I feel like, output wise there hasn't been a lot recently, he still has that kind of status.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. Even RJ, I think RJ's only big in LA. Yeah. RJ Mr. LA, like, his music right now, like the 2018 era, like, he is like him. And like, he was signed to Mustard, but like, he's a LA hero, but nobody out of LA really
yeah.
knows him.
If you're
and
not
it
from
sucks
LA, you don't
he has
really know him.
Amazing music.
Yeah, he has great music.
Yeah.
This is RJ? RJ Brown?
No.
RJ Mr. LA.
Yeah.
RJ Mr. LA? All right. I'm going to check
you
him out.
You got to listen to him. Yeah. I remember I was working in education, and I was tutoring one of these kids, and he was trying to be rude and too cool for me and, like, put in his headphones, and I could hear what song he was listening to. And he was listening to RJ, and I was like, is that RJ? He was like, what? And I was like, is that RJ Mr. LA? Are you listening to this and this album? And he was like, yeah. How'd you know, miss? And I'm like, I know of him. He's like, oh, for real? All right, I guess you're cool then.
And then he took
so
the headphone.
So he took
and
his
he put
headphone.
His headphone back in.
He yeah. took one headphone off, and we started doing work. So I was like, you know what? Don't play with me, because I be knowing.
And people judge LA because of Tyga, but Tyga in his own right is a legend prior to, like, whatever he is. Like, no, like, first of all, like I'm the one of the biggest Lil Wayne.
He,
like,
he will still put on for Tyga. I will
still put on, because, like, I was a big Lil Wayne fan, like, that Piff mixtape era, and then seeing somebody from L.A., signed to, even though he's been from seven parts of LA since he's been signed, but like him signed to Lil Wayne, being part of that camp, we were all like, dang, like he's one of us with the biggest artists out mm-hmm. of all time. Yeah. So,
what do you think? I ain't gonna lie, Rack City was big here. So
that's, yeah, that's, I mean, that's timeless. It's timeless.
It's timeless. Yeah. Timeless. Yeah,
you get people now throwing their backs out because we're a little older now. You know, to that song. But yeah, outside of the LA bubble, though, I will say one thing that I've been listening to is the new No Worries album, Anderson .Paak and Knowledge. Just complete, like, just immaculate vibes through and through. So I've been putting that on replay.
Oh yeah, OT Genesis. OT. Not OT. I'm sorry, Mexican OT. Like, he, him, like,
him bringing Paul Wall on one of the songs, like, and then he just came out. Paul Wall just came out with a new song. I'm like, dang, like, Texas still has some fire around them.
Yeah.
Fun fact, and about Anderson .Paak, his dad's from Philly.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
His dad grew up in so I read this really long article about it. His dad is a twin, or well, I don't know if his dad's still alive, but his dad's a twin, and they grew up in Germantown, so about 15 minutes from where I live right now. And they used to like prank people. So like his dad, like supposedly this the story goes, his dad was in the military, I think the Navy or something like that. He went away, whatever, came back, was on some like, yo, that shit f***ing sucked, I don't want to go back. And then he told his brother the whole thing, and he had his brother go back.
No way. To serve. Oh my god. That's unreal. That's
I need a twin.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the
and eventually that's the they moved to LA and then like had it, you know, met his mom, whatever it was,
had a
family. But
quite a crazy story. Yeah, I just a podcast some Philly connections.
That's wild. That's
he's
crazy.
He's such a musical legend though. Like genius. Like like all his music is just fire.
Yeah.
You can't ever go wrong with Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
I do want Anderson .Paak by Bruno Mars like
reunion
collab like
Bruno
Silk Sonic
that was fire too.
That album was crazy.
Bruno apparently he's in debt. He's losing money apparently. Uh-huh. I don't know, I don't want to throw stuff out there.
It's because he wasn't feeling like doing anything.
No, I guess like in like he got caught up in the whole Vegas thing. I don't know what's going on, but I hope Bruno's doing
okay. The album was crazy though,
because
great music.
All right, listen, Ibun, I know we went a little
we
bit over
forever,
we got into the music talk and the LA talk, and we got a little long-winded, but I really appreciate you. We had a great time.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Before we go, any last final shout outs or plugs that you want to put out? Where can we find the MLS collection, and where can we find the rest of the LBF stuff?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram. It's probably the best place, at LB Football. That's FUTBOL, livebreathefootball.com. The MLS collection, you can find that on our website, livebreathefootball.com, on MLSstore.com, and in select Dick's Sporting Goods in certain markets. I think we're in about 88 Dick's Sporting Goods locations. So Cali, Atlanta, New Jersey, New York, Charlotte, like North Carolina, Ohio. So wherever it is, major MLS market, we're in a local store there.
Brick
so
and mortar, baby. Brick and mortar. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, get that foot traffic. You know how it is.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much. You know, congrats to
thank
you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be continuing to follow you guys. And, you know, I know there's bigger and better things ahead for you as well.
No, thank you, guys. This was fun. And definitely send me guys like your contact information. I'd love to guys send you guys some products if you guys can, like, rep LBF in LA.
All right,
thank
for
you,
sure. Yeah, definitely. Here. Yeah, thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
All right, guys.
Yep.
Peace.
Bye. Thank you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.